2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, rosacea is not all that common, but it's a very real problem for those who have it. But what actually is it? Jennifer Rock, CEO and the founder of Skin Ingredients and the Skin Nerd, is here to tell me all about it. Jennifer, I have a funny feeling we're going to have a lot of people getting in touch and asking questions today.
Yeah,
because so many people deal with it and don't know how to battle it, I suppose. But we were just speaking there about before we came on air about the difference between redness and rosacea.
Yeah, so if I start off by saying April is Rosacea Awareness Month, which I always think it's great to have any month dedicated to a specific piece, and particularly with rosacea because it affects 10% of Irish adults. So it's actually quite a large cohort of people that are potentially undiagnosed or diagnosed or managing it, whether they're under the care of a doctor or not. So your question is so valid. How do you know what it is? How do you know if it's not just redness? So, 42% of our clients have reported saying they have it. But the danger with the word rosacea is that people often self-diagnose where it actually is a medical condition. So that's the one thing I'd love people to take from this segment is you can't decide it is rosacea yourself. You do need to have a GP or a derm to actually substantiate that it is that. So what is rosacea? Essentially, it tends to come more so in the middle of the face.
Okay.
There's four different, I suppose, subcategories or subtypes within it, but it usually manifests as redness that is persistent and constant. It comes around the nose, the chin, the cheek, and kind of the centre of the forehead. You can have broken capillaries with it. So broken capillaries meaning if you look at my nose right now, you'll see broken capillaries, but it doesn't mean that I have rosacea. So it's just a couple of little what people might call spider veins, or they can look like little squiggles. They often come around the corner of the nose and across the cheek. Another reality is that you could be getting spots and breakouts. So what you might associate with more problematic skin, like a spot that's red and raised and sore and tender.
Is that where the redness is?
Around that area. So okay. In exactly that chin, cheek, nose, forehead area, or could have a little white head on it. So what we call a pustule. So there's a little bit of bacteria in it. So people can often confuse themselves at home, understandably, and think, I just have breakouts that happens to have redness in it, then self-treat for problematic oily skin when actually it's potentially rosacea that they could be suffering with. And then another one that is absolutely, again, it's all medical, but this one, it can actually affect the eyes. So my first port of call is to say, if redness is a reality for you, don't say, oh, it must be rosacea, because the beauty of living on this island of Ireland, Lottie, is that we do tend to get a lot of redness because of the sun exposure. And you might think, what sun? Well, it is actually lovely out today, but the sun can cause a lot of redness, irritation. We are quite a sensitized nation as well. We can often have redness through misuse of products, over exfoliation, lifestyle. But with rosacea, what you're essentially finding is that it's persistent, it's quite deepening, and things like stress can really irritate it. So you can find that it flares up and then it'll go back down. You can find hormonally at different times of the month, it might be something that's more prevalent for you. If you drink alcohol, you spicy foods, ultimately putting things that are beautiful to enjoy in the correct measure, but can cause inflammation internally, will then really add to that inflammation that you're experiencing within your skin.
So it's an inflammatory reaction,
exactly.
Rosacea.
Yes. So it is an inflammatory skin condition. It is, I don't love the word disease because it sounds so dramatic, but it is a medical condition that needs medical attention. So I suppose the metrics that I'd be saying to you is, if you feel that redness is a reality, it's persistent, it fluctuates, other stimuli, like I said, the spicy food, the alcohol, stress as an internal piece is when your skin goes up and down, and there really is that peak and trough, and you can't understand a pattern within it. A first protocol I would say is go to the pharmacy, to your GP, and then potentially referral to dermatologists, because there are so many options and medications and skincare that you can do to really alleviate it. But it is really, it really is debilitating to so many. It truly is. And I suppose if you look at the age profile, it tends to be something that creeps its way in from 30 onwards.
Okay.
It's quite prevalent in our 30s and our 40s, right up to 50s, 60s. So it's a less of a minor. So example, you're not really going to get it. You're not, I suppose, as likely to get it as a teen, tween and into your 20s.
Is it sore?
It can be really tender for people, genuinely.
Oh, wow.
So when I say debilitating, I mean, some people will have, I suppose, more the redness, the flushing side. They can potentially, if they are a makeup wearer, conceal it. But I just, nothing in your skin should ever be sore or tender. And if you're ever uncertain, I would always encourage people to get that medical attention. What I would say as a home care piece, because it can take time to get into the doctor, it can take time for you to see that pattern, to think, I really do need to go to a doctor now. But I would say that the key ingredients that you're best to always, like I'm always going to say SPF hail. If it was snowing outside, I would still be saying it. But SPF is definitely a key piece. And especially when you think about rosacea having that redness, a lot of excess sun damage can cause redness. So you don't want to confuse, is your redness caused by the sun and having had a great childhood all those years ago? Or is it redness caused by a medical condition that I could have? The other ingredient, or there's a couple of other ingredients, niacinamide is one that's really crept into our world over the last few years. So niacinamide, otherwise known as vitamin B3, it's in so many skincare products and it really is calming and really is soothing on the skin. You get it in an awful lot of serums, very affordable, beautiful texture to it, lovely and lightweight, very cooling on the skin, and it really does help with redness. Vitamin C deserves a segment all by itself. So you'll often come across, people will tell you if there's vitamin C in their serum because it's absolutely one to shout out about. It's like a gold standard ingredient. But ultimately vitamin C, I always say, does three things. It really helps the complexion in your skin. So when you have a bronchopulmonary, now bronchopulmonary, as I mentioned already, is something that you can look in the mirror and you can have, example, I get hay fever, sinusitis, and. So I'm often blowing my nose. So as a result, I'm putting pressure around my nose and I get little bronchopulmonaries.
Okay.
That's separate to the rosacea piece. So please don't go look in the mirror and think, oh goodness, I see these now, I need to go to the doctor. So just monitor your skin for a little while. But back to the vitamin C. Vitamin C, when you give it to the skin in a topical sense, meaning that you're putting it into... You can't use vitamin C, you get breakouts.
Yeah, really... So I can take it orally, but I can't put it topically on my skin. I don't know why.
A lot of people would say the same. You're not on your own with that at all. So vitamin C is a really powerful ingredient. It's often the alternative to vitamin A and retinol for those that can't use retinol, be it that they're pregnant or they have a sensitivity to it, or perhaps they're on other medications and it's just making their skin too sensitive. But vitamin C is a really powerful ingredient when you put it on in a serum format, if you can. So like yourself, you can't. But for say myself, I would. And it's really anti-aging. But when you put it on, it actually has the ability to get into the little lining of those capillaries, that redness that we're seeing, and helps to strengthen the collagen that's lining that capillary, so therefore the redness becomes less over a period of time. So vitamin C is a powerful ingredient. You're looking for something with, it's called L-ascorbic acid.
Okay.
So there's a nerdy bit on a Monday morning to look at the back of the bottle that you might be using, but that's the pure form of vitamin C.
And what really helps with redness. What about people like me who can't, for example, use something like that topically? When we're ingesting the vitamins instead, what's the difference?
So, that's such a good question. So vitamin C, by and large, needs the majority of skin, except for a couple of us, I suppose, that would be quite prone to breakouts. But I'm prone to breakouts and I don't break out with vitamin C. So it is case in point. It depends on the person. And it depends on the formula, which is potentially a different day's conversation. Back to your question about inside out. Look, you know I love the inside out philosophy. I'm a big believer with skincare that what I'm doing to my skin outside, I try to do inside. So example, I'll try to match my probiotics inside, then use probiotics on the outside. They're never going to have the same impact. Example, if you're trying to use probiotics on the inside, they're obviously going to help the gut.
Yeah.
Probiotics on the outside aren't going to reach the gut, but they'll help with the natural barrier of the skin.
Okay.
Vitamin C, then back to your point, taking vitamin C inside is extremely anti-inflammatory. And so... vitamin C is extremely anti-inflammatory and it's an antioxidant. So when you're taking that inside, it really has that cooling, calming effect. And externally on the skin, it has the same impact.
Okay.
But let's be real, Lottie, when you're putting something inside, it essentially helps all of the skin from top to toe. Whereas when you're putting it onto the skin localized, let's say you forget your nose when you're just running out the door in the morning and you're missing a part of the face. The joy is that internally is always going to help all of the organs, all of the body, whereas skin is localized to a specific area for a specific concern. So it's not going to help. Like if I always say nipples up, which I love saying on the radio because I'm sure it causes a few raised eyebrows. But really what you're trying to do is look after the skin through the whole way through. So to taking supplements and eating well is the caveat. Like eating well is first protocol. Supplementation is only in addition to that.
I so agree with what you're saying because I am regiment with my skincare. But if I mess up with my supplements, my skin will show it within about 2 to 3 weeks and I'll go, what's going on with my skin at the moment? What have I done wrong or whatever? And then I'll twig, I haven't been taking my supplements.
Yeah, look, for me, it's as I said, it's in addition to, and I agree with you, sometimes when you're missing something, it's when you realise the true impact it was having, right? Mm. But back to the rosacea side of it, I suppose I would always say, go to the doctor, try to have a pattern before you go to say, I find that it's my redness is across my cheek area. I find it more tender when I'm using X product or X ingredient, so that you're giving them almost an insight to your reality so they can advise.
And are there any like clinical treatments that people can do for rosacea?
Yes. So there are, there's definitely the ingredients we spoke about. So SPF being one, vitamin C being another, niacinamide, as I mentioned, another. And then last one to mention about topical is azelaic acid. So again, a really powerful ingredient that's really ideal for redness. Now, the word acid and redness, you might think, why are they going together? But it's not an exfoliating acid. It really helps to strengthen the redness and the capillaries within the skin. So to park the kind of what you can do at home as a checklist for yourself, that's the key part. And then back to your question with regards to treatments, the main one that you feel people, I tend to find people really do get immediate results with is IPL. Okay. So it's called intense pulse light. It has to be done by a facialist, or it can be in a nurse or in a doctor setting. You're really looking for somebody that is truly passionate and hugely insightful about it. So it's not the most affordable treatment in the world, but it really does get a result quite quickly. So for that, I would say you need about 3 treatments in close proximity. Example, get one in April, one in May, one in June. And what happens is on the skin, I suppose they put like a cooling gel. It's actually very calming to get done in that sense. Then they pick up their beautiful device, and essentially it's a light wave that is penetrated into the lower layer of the skin. It feels like the flicking of an elastic band on your skin in that moment. It's really quick. So powerful, but truly works. So you leave looking. Good question. Depends on the skin. So I would say that you have downtime maybe of like a day max, depending on your skin.
Okay, so
I leave and I just look flushed.
Okay.
Some people leave and they're quite red and irritated. And then the next day, not like that night even, you could pop a little bit of mineral makeup on and you go for dinner and enjoy yourself. But what happens is that over the next few days, the redness is then flushed from the body. So the more treatments you get, the more result that you see. So if someone is quite conscious of the redness that they have, that's definitely one to consider. And then you do have to use your SPF alongside that and your vitamin C.
So if you are treating redness in your skin and you're noticing that the normal treatments just aren't doing the job to keep it at bay and keep it under control, try the list of ingredients that you're talking about. And if you still feel like it's not working, is that when you need to go and get professional help?
Do you know what it's in general, I would say to people, try and do, as you just said, the checklist of key ingredients for their skin for about a 90-day period. And if you're not seeing a difference, then I would question, are the level of the ingredients sufficient? Are they high enough? So example, is your ascorbic acid, vitamin C, the 15%? Are you using a really solid B3? Are you using all the ingredients that we mentioned? And if that's not doing anything, and taking photographs is always what I suggest, take a photograph on all of that journey, because we're so emotionally attached to our skin when we're conscious of our redness, for example, that's all we'll hone in on. So take the photographs, and then concurrently I would be going to a clinic for the treatment to get that consult and then see if I need to go and get that medication thereafter. There's plenty of medications that will help with rosacea. So I just don't want anyone to sit there thinking there's no solution for me. There is. There's topical, there's internal, alongside the treatments we just mentioned and the ingredients. So there is a check list to make sure that you feel like the best version of yourself. And then it's a maintenance piece thereafter. It's not something that ever goes from your life. It's something that you do have to monitor.
But then you'll know your triggers as well, I suppose, so you can maintain it a little bit better. And coming into the summer, Jennifer, do you find that people notice these things flaring up more, or is this just a year-round thing, or is summer the time to really kind of zone in and watch out for this?
It tends to be based on the person or the client. So, for example, if somebody feels that coming into the summer, they're more likely to have a tipple or two over a barbecue and obviously drinking responsibly, but they might find that that tends to be the trigger for them that will heighten it. Whereas we would have a lot of clients that would say to us, like 41% of our clients on The Skin Nerd say that they have rosacea. But what's interesting is when we talk to them about it in a facialist setting, and then we advise them, they go back to what you just said, they go use all those key ingredients that do make a difference, and then after a 90-day period some have a lot less redness, and then they don't need to go for medical attention because it wasn't really rosacea in the first place.
Okay.
So yeah, but back to your point, it depends on the person, it depends if it actually is rosacea. So redness tends to be a reality for so many, though. I mean, it can be something that is sun damage, so you get a lot of redness from having had a lot of sun exposure over that fantastic childhood that we hopefully had. That looks like redness. You can have during pregnancy, coming into perimenopause, menopause, redness becomes more of a reality. As our collagen breaks down, that capillary becomes weaker. And so when the little capillary becomes weaker, redness becomes more prominent. So there's many a reason that you can have redness.
How do you feel about collagen supplements?
So the science is evolving massively with collagen supplements. So to this date, I'm probably a bigger bigger advocate of supplementation or eating a diet that gives my skin the fuel it needs to help create my own collagen. However, there's lots of reports coming through, very exciting pieces, where there's hydrolyzed collagen and there's collagen that you can essentially break down that will have an impact on your joints and your hair and then your skin. So it's definitely coming through that taking collagen actually does make a big difference to your skin inside.
And before we came on air to talk, I have a lovely little brief that's put together by the fabulous team here. Otherwise, you know, these things wouldn't happen. And I was reading through my brief and I go, and Jennifer Rock coming in talking about Ross Crea, and people were laughing at me and I'm like, what's so funny? And they said, it's rosacea. And it's like, oh yeah, see, I read things, I read it phonetically. I would need it spelt like Rosacea. But you said it's actually really common that loads of people will say Ross Crea to you as well.
Do you know what I love the most about my team is that there's some people that are, their full-time focus in our company is just to comment and reply to people and be there as like a skin personal trainer for DMs and social media. And so the amount of conversations that they have about a place in Ireland called Ross Crea as opposed to Rosacea, because it's not our place to correct people. But ultimately, yes, a lot of people will say I have Ross Crea as opposed to I have rosacea.
So I'm not alone.
No one has Ross Crea. Okay. But you could have rosacea.
You can go to Ross Crea with your rosacea.
You could.
Okay.
But no, in all seriousness, yes, it's definitely something just to monitor over a couple of weeks and months. What's the redness? Where is it caused? Where is it coming on the skin? And then if it is really something that's affecting your life in any shape or form, you've tried those different ingredients at home as a checklist, then it is definitely time to nip into the doctor to have a conversation, because there's loads of topical products and medications that you can use that will really alleviate it and just not allow you to have to even think about it. So think about that mental capacity and not having to wake up every morning conscious, is today the day, or I've got something fun and exciting on at the weekend and you're worried that it'll become your reality. It's not, skincare I think can often be seen as frivolous, but it can actually truly debilitate your day to day if it's something that you have to think about like that.
And it's lovely to know that there are solutions and that's not the way you have to wake up feeling every day.
100%. So yeah. Many solutions. So yeah, again, back to the fact that it's April being the rosacea, or Ross Crea, rosacea awareness month. So yeah, there's a lot of information out there, so just let people be aware.
Amazing. Jennifer, thank you so much. It's Jennifer Rock, CEO and founder of Skingredients and The Skin Nerd, talking about Ross Crea, rosacea, whatever you want to call it. She'll be back with more skincare tips next month, and I will be back right after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.